don't deserve none of it. I don't even deserve to even come to church this morning. But I thank the Lord He allowed me to where I can come. But, you know, and I know that I thank the Lord that I can't even get up here and stand up here. And I'm just so thankful that I have some people that the Lord has given me to pray for me. And I thank you for your prayers. Continue praying for me. But as far as your prayers, pray for that one that's lost, and pray for the ones that are not in church today but used to be in church. Pray for them. Then after you get through praying for all of them, then you can take my name to the Lord. But I'd rather see somebody come to know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And then I can go on home. But I know I'm not going until like a whole lot of people said, my number comes up. Which it ain't gonna be no number. It's gonna be that spiritual name. But I do thank Him. I thank Him for you. I thank God for allowing me to be the pastor down here. And I'm thankful to you that you have entrusted me. And me and Brother Bill was talking this week. And really, I told Brother Bill, I said, Brother Bill, I says, please, let me know if I ever bring something to the people or say something, a message or something that's not completely according to the Word of God. Because I would rather stand here today and apologize for something I may have said or that than to leave and then all week y'all would be wondering about what did I mean when I said this or when I said that. But I thank God every day for you. All righty, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4. Y'all pray that the Lord will touch me that I can bring it out the way He wants it brought out. But Acts chapter 8. One through four.
Acts
chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, and except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of the Lord. This is about Saul right here, right now. And we're going to get over into where you go into chapter 9 and you can see where Saul, where he becomes known as Paul. But we also see where that for the first missionary to be brought forth was Saul. He made havoc of the church. Now, can you imagine yourself going out here and doing something for the Lord and knowing what you're doing it according to His Word. And as you're doing that, you're also making havoc on the church. In other words, you're squabbling. You're upsetting the people in the church. You're upsetting the community. And you're upsetting the workplace. You're upsetting the people around you each and every day. What will it do to you? As an individual, what will it do to you and me? I know what it would do to me. It would discourage me more than it will ever lift me up. And being the first missionary, we see right here where Paul is being presented here a little later as a chief persecutor. And as a chief persecutor, they also called him the first missionary. They knew something. They knew something that the Lord had given them that Paul did not know of. And they did not know anything about it either. And on top of that, they went out among the people preaching Christ, preaching that you must be born again. And a whole lot of people today don't even know what that means. They don't say anything about being born again. They don't know anything about it. And you can ask them, say, what do the two words, how can you describe them? And that's born again. Born again. They said, well, born first time, my mother gave me birth.
Yeah, that's right.
What happens at being born again? And they say, how can you be born again when you're there? When I can see you and you exist, how can you be born again? And they said, you can't. I said, I disagree with you. You can be born again. And the only way that you can ever be born again is that you have got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that is again. He is the one that has come about in bringing up that we must be born again. We must ask Jesus to come into our heart. We must ask the Holy Ghost of God to teach us what the Word of God says. And we must also ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us in our daily walk with the Lord. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit walking with us daily, we're sure to fall. We're going to fall. I'm going to fall. And I ain't talking about literally falling like I've been doing that uphill. I'm talking about falling against the Lord Jesus Christ. Failing him. And I don't want to fail him. Do you want to fail the Lord? Do you? I don't think so. Here in the book of Acts, is filled with struggles, temptation, and everything. But a New Testament church, we have to have some kind of action. In other words, we have to have something going on in, within the church. Not just outside the church. And not just at home or in the neighborhood where we're at. We must come to Jesus and ask him to help us to face tomorrow. Because if I face it by myself, I'm going to fall. And I'm not talking about me just falling and falling on the floor or something like that. I'm not talking about that type of falling. I'm going to fall away from him. I'm going to fall from God. I'm going to fall from him because of what he's done for me. And I sure don't want to fail him. And I don't know of anybody else who wants to fail him that really knows him. And I believe each and every one of you here knows him as your personal Lord and Savior. And I know you don't want to fail him. And he's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail me. But I am at the point of no return. Because when I fail him, I have no idea what he's going to do. The only thing I can ask is he has mercy on me. The only thing I can ask is that he touches. And he touches where the Holy Spirit brings about the feeling within the church. Did you realize that this church right, this building right here, yes, we got seven people in here, but did you realize with seven people, we could have this building right here packed out? Packed out. No other room at all. And still not experience the love of a God. Why? Because we have not invited the Holy Spirit in. Oh yes, we had the Holy Spirit on us. But sometimes we say, well, I'm going to go in there and see what they're going to do today. See what are they going to bring up at the business meeting? How much money they're going to spend? How much they're going to do here? What they're going to do there and everything? When you come to church and when you come through the doors and you've got a mindset that way, there's no way under the sun that you could come in and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot do it. Because what the house of God, what this building right here was set aside for, and it's been set aside there for 50 some years now. It was set aside for what? For the preaching of God's word. For sinners to come in and to come to the altar and they may get saved. And for people to come and come to the altar and pray over the loved ones that may be out of church or may be lost and everything. They need to come to the church. They need to come forward to the altar. We don't need to sit in the pew. Because when we sit in the pew, there's no movement. Where there's no movement, God don't move. If you want to see something done here at the church, if you want to see something turn around, if you want to see God start saving souls, if you want to see God start doing this and that for the church and for each one of us, we must start at the altar. We must be willing to shed a tear or two for loved ones. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm going to ask you this, and you think about it. How many of you today has a family member that's not in church? That you don't even think they even saved? You think about that. We as individuals, if I cannot go out there, and if I cannot talk to my brothers, and if I can't tell them that Jesus Christ loved them, and he gave his life for them, and they need to be saved, and if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. And if I don't tell them that, and if I don't confess to them, and I tell them that, then what good am I to you? What good am I to the individual that comes through them doors that I've never met and I've never seen before? If I'm not willing to go and testify before my brother, before my kin people, because they're my loved ones, they carry my blood, we carry the same blood, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Praise God, back in 1980, that Monday afternoon at 7:15, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, And when I asked him to apply the blood of Jesus on my life, that day he gave me a transfusion. A blood transfusion. He took the old corrupt heart out that pumps the blood. He took it out of my body. And he put something else in there anew. And, praise God. I mean, me and my wife were just talking about the other day. I had to go have some blood work taken and for the doctor. And I was telling her, I said, you know, I really don't know why they're taking this blood. Because what you need to do, they need to do a blood transfusion on me. Because when I was 12 years old back in 62, I come down with a ruptured appendix. And the doctor, they went in and they done surgery on me and they took the appendix out. And then he left the hospital. He then went and got in his automobile. I don't know if you call it a plane, train, bus, I don't know. But he went out of town on vacation with nobody there to look in on me, and see how I was doing. And my granddaddy went to the hospital and went to the administrator of the hospital, the CEO, the head one there. And he says, I need a surgeon. He said, what do you need a surgeon for? He said, because I got a grandson that's up on the third or fourth floor. And says, now, he went into gangrene. His appendix ruptured. And the other doctor that come in and done his surgery, he was so fascinated wanting to leave home and leave and go on his vacation. Says, I need a doctor for him. I need a surgeon for him. Because my mother, she was out of it. She didn't know what to do. But my granddaddy, he went to the high authorities, and there was a CEO of Danville Medical Center. He got something moving. And they give me a choice. They give them, well, my mother and him a choice and give them a couple names they need to go see and talk to. And they went and saw him. If it'd been anybody else, this day and time, if he was still living, I doubt very seriously there would be many people that would go to him. But you know, because he done things I'm not proud of today, that he done, but hey, he was a good surgeon. He knew what to do. And I stayed in and out of the hospital for a month back then. They give me a blood transfusion there. And ever since then, my blood is something always been wrong with it. I mean, I can't even take the penicillin. And if I take a pain pill, I'm liable to quit breathing. My throat will close up. My tongue, my lips will swell up. But with all that's going on, and with all of what has been on in my life, God has still been good to me. So why can't I be good to God? And when we go, and when we go to our family members, and when we go, and when we do go to our family members or somebody close to us, and we talk to them and tell them, and it doesn't seem like it kind of maybe jee-hawing with them. But what we got to consider today, and this is a hard pill to swallow, but what we got to consider today, we got to consider how powerful and how much influence Satan has over each one of us. Because see, Satan is the only one that can attack us and turn us away. And when the Holy Spirit is dealing with a soul, a lost soul anyhow, Satan will attack them. And says, you've heard it all your life. You know such and such? Yeah, they said they got saved too. Look where they're at today. They're trying to come up with some way to where they can do this and do that, where they can meet ends and everything, where they can provide for food for the family, where they can go out here and pay the bills and that thing for the family. Look at them. Has the Lord done anything for them? Yeah. He sure has. He's done more for me than I've imagined. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. He can quit blessing me. He can quit giving me anything. He can quit just talking, speaking to me. And I'm still blessed. I'm still blessed by all of what he's done. That's what you call a spirit-filled church. We need a witnessing church also. We don't need to just have a spirit-filled church where people can come in and they bring the Lord Jesus with them, and they bring God the Father, and they bring the Holy Ghost with them, and they come in here, and they don't start talking about the soap operas. They don't start talking about football. They don't start talking about baseball. They don't start talking about the races. And they don't start talking about this and that. They start talking about God. I've been around some people. I mean, there's Christians. I'm going to tell you, you never see them out anywhere thanking the Lord for so much. the reason that I believe that we are in the state that we're in today is that Christians, we are not doing what we need to do. And what we need to do, we need to speak it out. I mean, I've been to, me and Chad was been down, we've been to Golden Corral, different places like that, and we sat down and we'd eat. And we'd have a blessing. But I didn't, when I went to the Lord and I thanked him for that blessing, I thanked him for that food, and I thanked him for the strength that that food would give me to where I can have strength for his service. It could be that I'm ashamed of it. And yes, and I'd pray over the meal, but inwardly. People can't even see my mouth even move. And these people that comes in to these places, and they say, well, the reason I don't speak it out, the reason I don't pray where people can hear me is because they liable to throw me out. Well, praise God, then let them throw me out then. I don't need to be there. If prayer is going to hinder them, if prayer is going to do something against them, then you're right. I don't need to be there. But it's so many. So many people is in the same situation. We are ashamed of Jesus. Paul, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel because he knew what the gospel was. The gospel was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his Savior. And he's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. And we need to let people know that in whom we are serving. And when we go out, and we just sit there and we just pray inwardly and everything. Yeah, we praying. But can't nobody even see our lips? What does that say? What's that? What is that telling other people around you? That for other Christians to see you? They said, well, they must not be Christian. I don't hear them say, I don't hear them say anything about the Lord Jesus. Hey, Jesus, when Jesus went, and when he went to the multitudes, when he went to the people, he didn't go to the saved. He didn't go to the religious crowd. He went to the lost places. He went to the places where lost individuals was at. And he went there to see them saved, see them to get be born again. But this day and time, not no more. Why? People are ashamed. They are ashamed in who they believe. But they're not ashamed of the one that they serve. And that's Satan. A conquering church. The church that has been challenged by the individual within that church, within the body of Christ. Not only that, a growing church. We can see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How do we add to the church? Tells us right here, praising God, lifting His name up. That's how we build a church. That's how you build it. The community up. That's how we go about doing God's work. It's praising God for what He's done for us this week. Because each one of us gonna go into the world after we leave the service today. Once we go out them doors, we're gonna be in the world. And do you know of anybody today that uses foul language, that they'll just quit using foul language because you're there? No. They're not going to quit it. Why? Because they're serving Satan. Satan, he is their everything. They're not ashamed of him. That's the reason they do what they want to do. That's the reason you see on these billboard signs right here. Don't get me started on that, Lord. Have mercy. I mean, on these billboard signs right here. And I don't see nobody lifting up their voice and saying anything against it. You can drive from here to probably to South Boston. And if you see 50 billboard signs from here to South Boston, 45 of them would be advertising sex because they would have the ladies on the billboard. And they won't be dressed either. I mean, you go out there, you can go out here and buy a handkerchief. And be more of what some of them was wearing. We need to stand for something. We need to take a stand. And you say, well, preacher, I'm just one individual. I'm just one individual. I can't do nothing. They're not going to listen to me. Madeline O'Hara, she was one individual too. She didn't let them stop her. She had Congress and the Senate both up there to pass the bill to take the Word of God out of school and prayer out of schools. And I don't know if I've ever told you or not, but I was in City Farm one Saturday afternoon, holding services down there. At the end of the service, I've been wanting to do it for a while, and I just didn't know how some of the inmates would take it. Because, I mean, you know, I didn't want them to come out to me. I didn't want them to, I didn't want them talking about hitting me. I don't try to hit nothing like that, you know. But, I mean, because I'm human. But the thing about it was, I come to find out that day, that afternoon, that I noticed on the front pew there, that it was completely full from one end to the other. And they was the one that controlled everything. They the one that kept things in order. And if people would come up and put you down or say something against you or something you said, I don't believe that and everything, they would tell them, says, either you hush, you listen, or you just go out this, I'll call the guard and you can go back out there. See, they don't want to do that. See, they don't want to go back out there. Because, see, they're not right there with the guards and everything. But in saying all that, at the end of that service, I asked all of them. And some of them that was in there, they didn't look like they were no more than 12 years old. But I know they was at least 18. And I could see some tears in some of the young ones' eyes. And knowing that they're going to be down there for a while. And I said to them all, I said, you know, do you remember the times when your mother or your grandmother took you to church? Do you remember the last time that you went to church? Some of them raised their hands, some didn't. And I asked them all. I says, if they had not taken the Word of God out of schools and had not have taken prayer away from the school, and I know the reason big dogs and everything, what they say is, well, you know, they had teachers there, you know, that reading the Bible and everything, and said they weren't saved. Well, praise God, hey, Paul won't save either when he was introduced to Jesus either. And I asked him, I said, if you had that Bible reading in school and prayer in school, do you think your life would be any different today? Do you think your life would be any different today? Some of them raised their hands and said, yes, mine would be. Because I would have kept on staying with my grandmother. I'd have kept on visiting her. That's the reason she took me to church. Because when I went to visit her, and when I stayed with her over the weekend, over the summer, I had to go to church. It won't no ifs, ands, or buts. She said, you're going to church. If you come stay with me, you will go to church. We need some people back. We need some individuals back like that. See, if you're going to come and you're going to stay at my house and eat my food, hallelujah, then you're going to go to church. Whether you like it or not, you're going to church. We need to get back then. We need to quit playing church. We need to allow God. We need to allow God to do something within this building, within this sanctuary here. We need to allow God to do something within our own lives. We need to allow God to bring back prayer. And we need to allow God to come in and open your pew back. Come in and open the pew. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Oh, Father, we ask it now, Lord, that you will touch each and every heart. Father, you know that we all are playing church in some way. Father, help us that we don't play church any longer. Help us, Father, to allow you to use us as your vessel, Father. Father, we do thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.